Radio, entity 0212, complex.
DPS, go. Inco, go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Talking Sound podcast, the only podcast on the internet where negative 10 is a number to be desired. Coming at you once again live from the beating heart of Austin, Texas, I am Christopher Jordan, your host, and welcome back, everybody. We are back home. The Eagle has landed back home in the studio at Austin Music Rooms, and it has been a harrowing and crazy last month. The month of March was absolutely thronged. There were probably about 3 days during the month of March that I did not have either a show or show prep or traveling to a show. And none of them were really consecutively off. So it was absolutely phenomenal. It was great. It'd been a long time since that had been that way. But at the same time, Doggy has been tired, more than tired. It actually took me almost a week to recover from all of that. And of course, just catching up with things. I mean, amongst all of that was South by Southwest, which was an absolutely amazing experience for those of you who got to tune in. And if you haven't tuned in, feel free to stop on by the website and check out the South by Southwest episodes. We had a great one where we actually walked around for about an hour interviewing different manufacturers with their products, things like that. Some fantastic tech was revealed there. We also had a great episode where we interviewed a very good friend of the podcast, Stephen James from Corpus Christi, was in town to do some shows for South By, and he's actually just recently released his new album, which is for sale on their website. So feel free to stop by there. Also, we had Mountain Rag in for their first episode. They're one of the bands that rehearse here locally at Austin Music Rooms, and they have been on the just wheels to the road, just peeling rubber on gigs, man. They have been getting gigs like crazy. So I'm hoping to be able to muster up some energy to be able to go one of their shows tomorrow night after I have a setup for a corporate event. So that's just a little inside baseball, y'all. Things that have been going on in the world of Talking Sound and Austin Hot Mods and HC Productions. It has just been a bang up month. And thank you to everyone that came out and showed your support at the Gear Expo for Austin Hot Mods. It was greatly appreciated. We got some great, truly great coverage there, not only for the podcast, but we were also featured in Guitar Player in a couple different things. It was absolutely phenomenal and great to see people who were interested in what I was doing. And, you know, that's really what this episode is about. It's not really going to be any self-aggrandizement or anything like that, but this last month has really come home to me and brought me back to a point of realization as to why it is that I do what I do. Not just as an audio engineer, but as a pedal modifier, as a musician, as everything, involving everything in my life, why it is that I have chosen the paths that I've chosen. It's a hard row to hoe sometimes. It's not always a bang-up month where you have gig after gig after gig. And like I said, out of 31 days, you know, 27 of them, 28 of them booked out solid. It was crazy. It was phenomenal. But it's hard and it's not easy to keep up that schedule. And it's definitely not something that you can keep up on your own. But when it does happen and when you're firing on all cylinders and when everything's going, it is just an absolutely amazing and phenomenal feeling. And to be switching gears from not just setting up a corporate show, but running and operating a corporate show to going into full on, you know, show mode for exhibition and being behind the table and meeting and greeting clientele and explaining my philosophy of Austin Hot Mods and, you know, why it is that I do what I do with that. It really all comes down to the point of teaching. And, you know, I was fortunate to have a lot of really good teachers in life who steered me, who saw aptitudes that I had and encouraged those. I had very encouraging parents. My mom especially was hugely supportive in all of the crazy things that I did, man. I remember worrying her to no end when I was 9, 10 years old, up till ungodly hours with the soldering iron, you know, just tinkering around and playing with things, not really even knowing what I was doing half the time. But that is what has really come home to roost in what I do with Austin Hot Mods, is taking people's stuff and tinkering with it and playing with it. And, you know, recently I had a friend of mine who posted on Facebook about his daughter watching a classic, personal favorite classic, Robin Hood by Walt Disney. I was going to say Keith Sutherland, but it's not Kevin Costner, not the Kevin Costner vehicle from the 90s, but the old 1970s, early 80s, Walt Disney animated classic. And, you know, I guiltily admit it on Facebook all the time that, you know, while I'm coding websites, you know, stuff like that, talking sound, everything else, I either have classical music on in the background or I have Disney movies, preferably old Disney movies, not really anything beyond Aladdin or anything like that. I find those to be a little bit more self-aggrandizing and more about selling a soundtrack than anything else. But in particular, old Disney movies, the 40s Disney movies, you know, Snow White, the Sleeping Beauty, even going into the 80s, Sword in the Stone. Personally, two of my favorites are Dumbo. I could probably watch Dumbo every day of my life and be okay. I believe I've admitted that on here, and I'm man enough to admit that. I love the movie Dumbo. I think it's a great and beautiful movie that really expresses that each of us inside have some sort of talent that is ready to help us soar and fly in the world, no matter how much we're ridiculed for it. I used to be horribly made fun of for my geeky toys and little tchotchkes that I'd bring to school that I'd make at home, things like that in elementary school. And it was always something interesting for me whenever I got older to see younger kids that I worked with, especially whenever I taught, that had the same tendencies, had the same likes, dislikes, had the same propensity toward the same kind of activities. And being able to steer them, like I said, my teachers did, whenever they saw the fact that I was electronically creative, you know, they would occasionally give me the leeway on a report to kind of steer something into a realm that I enjoyed and liked. And that's what brought me to doing this. That's what really brought me to doing this for a living, was when I rediscovered it, when I rediscovered music and electronics later on in life. It was a verve that happened with me that I ran with, man. It was like a catfish on stink bait. I was not letting go of it. And it started, my love for music started when I was young. I actually came from, I'm not going to say a hugely musical family, but a decently musical family. My grandfather played. I had a cousin of mine who played guitar, and I was very inspired by him as a youngster, and I would listen to his LP by the band Mamou frequently. It was one of the first bands to ever incorporate traditional Cajun music with rock and roll. And I remember he didn't speak a lick of Cajun, but he had his mom teach him how to translate his songs into Cajun and actually learn to sing it in the traditional language. So it was very interesting, that twist on it. But I remember fondly sitting around the campfire at camp with my grandfather whenever we'd go hunting, and he'd pull out his accordion and start playing and singing old Cajun songs, things like that. And it always moved me. And when I had the chance, once I got a little bit up into elementary school, up around fourth, fifth grade was when they started allowing us, at my school anyway, to actually take part in things like choir, which was pretty much just about the only school-sponsored thing that we had at that point. But we always had music class. We always had music. And it was one of those situations where every class, you know, it, just like any elementary school, you rotate from place to place. And we would rotate into the music room. And a couple times during the year, we would watch some movies, things like that. A personal favorite was always Peter and the Wolf. I always loved that beautiful, beautiful piece. And it was amazing to me. We'd watch the Disney version, which went through and showed you all of the instruments and, you know, how the oboe was the duck, things like that. And, you know, how they really voiced and provided characterization within the story. And I remember even then when I was 6, 7 years old, that struck me and it was absolutely amazing. And it really made me start to, especially with my ADD mind the way it is, I'm very visual. And if I can see something, I can usually make it or at least come pretty close to it or make an operational version of it. But it really gave me something to grasp onto as far as being able to close my eyes and visualize. And I remember that vividly. And beyond that was another personal favorite that we would watch all the time, especially at Halloween because of the great Night on Bald Mountain scene, but it was Disney's Fantasia. And Fantasia is really, I am a huge, huge fan of this movie on so many levels. Number one, the concept, and the concept that they originally had, which was to take the movie and every few years actually revamp it. And, you know, there would be a couple of mainstay pieces like The Sorcerer's Apprentice, things like that, but they would revamp it with new modern classical pieces. And in the 2000s, they did that, actually. And it was fantastic. It was great. I remember taking my niece Megan to go see it. It was in 3D. It was one of the first movies released in like 3D IMAX. It was absolutely phenomenal and amazing. And conceptually, it was great. And the clip that I'm about to share with you right now was probably the first time that I recall thinking scientifically about music, and thinking that way, really marrying science with sound. And it's the intermission track from Disney's Fantasia. Let's go ahead and play that real quick. So, we've got a new cue system here.
I'm very
happy
to have this opportunity to introduce to you there. The soundtrack.
The soundtrack, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on. That's all right. Don't be timid. Add a soundtrack. Now, watching him, I discovered that every beautiful sound also creates an equally beautiful picture. Now, look. Will the soundtrack kindly produce a sound? Go on. Don't be nervous. Go ahead.
Uh-oh. Watch out. Oh, the raspberry.
Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind. I suppose we hear and see the harp.
Now, this is where it started getting interesting to me, where they started showing the harp and things like that. And it was absolutely beautiful and mesmerizing. And what's interesting... Oh, just listen to that.
Now one of the strings, say, the violin.
And that's absolutely amazing and absolutely beautiful at the same time. It's so utterly simplistic, but literally it is an animated waveform. It is the actual waveform and what a violin looks like whenever you put it through an oscilloscope. There's the flute.
Very pretty. Now let's have a brass instrument.
Here's a little brass for you. And now, that's what I absolutely love about it, is the fact that it's utterly simplistic,
how about a low
yet still explaining to children the science behind sound by giving them a visual of what it actually looks like whenever you listen to these.
Go on.
And
drop the other
it's great. It's great. You know, the play between the conductor and the engineer is fantastic.
Beginning with the bass.
And it really does bring home how young most of the time we are whenever we start getting into this, whenever something strikes a chord. If you ask just about any engineer, most of them will say that it started at a young age. They always critically listened or listened to music. Or I remember specifically, and there are some people that are going to laugh, and that's all right. Much like my admission of Dumbo earlier, I will admit, I was a huge fan of Eddie Grant and the Killer on the Rampage album. And buddy, I mean, when I was like 7, 8 years old when it came out, I was a phenomenal fan of this album. And not just songs like Electric Avenue, y'all, the one hit off of it, but songs like War Party and stuff like that, that are, whenever you go back and listen to them now as an adult, it is some hardcore lyrics, man. You're talking about people coming by and conscripting teenagers to go to war, you know, like that is some deep lyrics for a 7 or 8 year old to be listening to. But I remember I listened to that and the Romantics in Heat. And if I'm not mistaken, it was the Back to the Future soundtrack. I listened to those unendingly, so much so that they sounded like water. They sounded like you were listening to them through water by the time I was done with them. Like I now re-own them on both vinyl and if they're on 8-track, I'll find them. I guarantee you, because I do have 8-track machines and I love them. But I still listen to the music that I listened to when I was younger. I'm still moved by it. It still moves me. And those ties are what bring me to doing this, because it's literally that giddy, childlike feeling. Just the other night, I had gotten finished wiring something up in the studio at home and literally brought my wife in. She has no interest whatsoever. I mean, she does. She's proud of me. She loves the stuff that I do. She loves the podcast. She loves the fact that I was hugely appreciated at South By as a pedal engineer. But as far as what I'm doing technically in a studio with wiring, excuse me, she has no idea, none, no clue whatsoever, and really cares not to know. She may need to know a couple buttons, but she loves seeing the sparkle and twinkle in my eyes, and she loves seeing the giddy thrill that I get every time I turn my stuff on. And here recently, like I said, I've been on the road. It's been crazy. It's been harrowing. I've been on the road for a company out of Tennessee that I absolutely love working with, Ovation Events. They're fantastic. And while we were on the road, we were in Galveston, and we were right near the seawall, all kinds of fun stuff. But we spent a couple evenings kind of sitting out, just the engineers from the breakout crew, just kind of hanging out and chilling out poolside, you know, maybe having a drink, having some pizza, just hanging out, talking, rapping, things like that. And the first night that we were there, we saw this huge tour bus, and we were wondering, who the heck does the tour bus belong to? Well, ends up, it belonged to the Stillman College Choir from Alabama. And they were actually touring the South, going all over the place. I believe they'd just gotten back from Knoxville, Tennessee, and were hitting Texas and then heading back to go back the next day. from Galveston back to Stillman College in Alabama. And these kids were there. There was everything from freshmen to seniors, and they come out, you know, we're hanging out in the hot tub, and the upperclassmen come out, and we're goading them the whole time. It was great. We were having a super fun time with them, and we actually got them to sing for us. And we're going to go to that clip here in just a minute, but it was absolutely amazing. The fun time that we had with these kids. We sat there, we talked to them about their majors, about what they were doing. And to go back to that point in life, to go back to the age of 20, 21, you know, and think about that verve that I had, that go get them drive with my art. I didn't quite have it as a full-on engineer yet and hadn't started my business and that kind of hustle, but I had started with my art and my music, and I'd been on the radio for quite a while, and I absolutely loved it. And to see the same sparkle in these kids' eyes going around singing at gospel churches around the southern United States was absolutely amazing. So what I'm going to bring to you now is a little bit of the Stillman College Choir singing their alma mater. So here we go, guys. The Stillman College
Choir. We are the Stillman College Choir.
Yeah!
5, 6, 7, go.
You gotta love that. You gotta love that. It's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, those kids, it took us a good 15 minutes, folks, of convincing and going like, come on, you know, and literally what ended up happening was me going, all right, you know what? I run a podcast and I'm going to put you guys on the podcast. So there you go, Stillman College. I told you it was going to happen, and it happened. Congratulations to all of you guys on your amazing tour, your phenomenal talent. What blew my mind was that was not the entire choir. That was probably what comprised about half of the choir, maybe a little bit less than half, if I'm not mistaken. There were quite a few of them that were wiped from their day's performance and stuff like that and from the drive down. So, you know, amazing to see these focused young individuals who are so absolutely apt in their art and following it with all of their heart. Those are the people in the world. Those are the dreamers that we have to support, ladies and gentlemen. We have to make sure that these things can continue, that arts programs continue from elementary to junior high to high school and beyond. It is saddening to me every time I go back home to Houston and visit my high school and hear about the programs that have been stopped, hear about the things that are no longer existing, hear about the opportunities that the children just no longer have. You know, there are a lot of kids who would excel in life if they knew that turning a wrench was fun. You know, that hey, man, I actually enjoy changing oil. You know what? Changing oil gets you paid a lot of money. You know, just about any mechanic job does. And instead, we lose these programs. We lose vocational programs. We lose programs that give people the opportunities to find out more and really better themselves along the way. And on that note, please stop by the website, www.talkingsoundshow.com. There you can find all of the episodes, all of the technical articles, all of the technical videos that we provide. All of these things are there for free so that people who are trying to be audio engineers can find out. People who are trying to start home studios can see the latest gear coming out. The latest things are available to them. The latest toys, the latest gadgets, the latest concepts in audio and engineering from major distributors and manufacturers. On there also, you can visit our Patreon page. And please, we are so entirely close right now to being able to launch the app. Once we're able to launch the app, all of this information will be available digitally in your pocket. You'll get push notifications whenever episodes launch, whenever we have new articles, whenever new things go up. It'll let you know right there on your phone or smart device that something new has happened on the Talking Sound podcast. So please go by Patreon, support us just like you do your local arts programs in school. Also, feel free to go on by SoundCloud or Spreaker. Look up the Talking Sound Show or Talking Sound Podcast, either one. I guarantee you, you'll find us. We have some great episodes, some great guests that we've been talking to recently. Here soon, we'll actually be featured on a private chat with the Art Institute of Houston coming up this week, and we really, really look forward to that. So once again, everybody, please stop on by, visit us online, www.talkingsoundshow.com. I am Chris Jordan, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, everybody, keep reaching for 11. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is Talking Sound.